It's time for the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Every week, WEUL's Tim Alcorn and the Chronicle Telegram's Sean Bennett talk wrestling. It's brought to you by Cobos Insurance Center, your Grange independent agent, and by Century 21 Deanna Realty. We'll recap the high school wrestling coming up on WEOL.
Good Thursday evening, everyone, and welcome to the last edition of our Thursday Wrestling Recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Tim Alcorn from AM 930 WEOL. It's great to be back this week. Huge thank you to Matt Douglas for filling in last week while I was out in Goodyear, Arizona. And of course, always a pleasure to be joined by Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. Sean, hard to believe this is the last one, and man, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we say it's hard to believe, and honestly, it's getting easier to believe because every year it's like, wow, bang, bang, blink, blink, the whole thing's over. But yeah, it's great. It's, I'm in my element now. It's the weekend, state tournaments started today, this afternoon, and obviously three big days where they're going to whittle guys down, guys and girl. There's a, for that, I don't know if you heard, but for the second time in Ohio history, a girl actually made the individual wrestling tournament this weekend. So we're going to see those the guys and the girl out there battling down to the last 14 in each division. It's an amazing sight. It's quite a spectacle, and it's one of the coolest things in sports.
And of course, for Lorain County, a very respectable, a very solid showing in Columbus.
Yeah, and it's generally I said during the last Matt report that we usually get a range of 20 to 25 from our coverage area. We got 22 from our coverage area. Now that includes for my coverage area for the Chronicle, a few guys that wrestle outside of Lorain County are from Lorain County, live in Lorain County, but wrestle outside Lorain County. I think altogether we had 18 total from Lorain County schools. Great showing from the Division I district at Mentor. Not so great at the other two, Division II district at Norwalk and Division III sectional at Garfield Heights. Obviously, I think both those districts start out with 18 district qualifiers for our area, and we only were able to get one guy out at Division II and only two Lorain County guys out at Division III. So that's a little bit disappointing. I'd like to see a little bit better numbers there, and I'm sure they tried their best, nothing they can do, but
that's tough. And, of course, in Division III, about Stevie Ferguson going to the state.
Yeah, finally. I mean, he was a state alternate as a freshman. That's when you're, like, one match from state, you lose, but then you win that placement match to finish fifth, which means if anybody fails a skin check or doesn't make weight or is injured that week in practice, Ferguson would have got to wrestle. So you're thinking, wow, he's like a hair's width away from wrestling in the state tournament as a freshman. No problem. He'll be there eventually. Did the same thing his sophomore year, and then last year he didn't even get out of the district or didn't even get out of the sectional tournament. So you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Thankfully, this year it's all turned around. He had a wonderful year on the football field for the Panthers, and then followed it up with a fantastic wrestling season where he finally breaks through and gets down to Columbus. So great job for him.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll kind of go through who's in Columbus this weekend. As Sean said, 22. So that's a pretty solid number. So we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll look at the state tournament and also want to plug that in the final segment, our buddy Josh Lowe is going to stop by and pay us a visit. Sean and I will ask one question each, and Sean will take about Josh will take about 12 minutes from each question. He's awesome. He's just an awesome guest. So stay with us. Yes, our finale for our Thursday Weekly Wrestling Recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty on AM 930 WEOL, on your phone with the mobile app, and Sean online
at WEOL.com.
Welcome back to the Weekly Wrestling Recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Tim Alcorn from AM 930 WEOL. Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. We mentioned during our opening segment that this is the final wrestling recap. And, of course, Sean, before we delve into the wrestlers that are in Columbus this weekend, got to give that great big shout-out and thank you to our sponsors, Bob Cobos and everybody at the Cobos Insurance Center, and, of course, Mike Deanna and his whole group over at Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. And they've supported this show now for a few years, and we appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Whoops, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard the show last week, but they were both at the Westlake Sectional, so I kind of saw both of them in the stands watching the wrestling, and I kind of marveled, and I said, these guys aren't just there supporting, you know, with, you know, advertising, things like that. They are out in the stands as fans, still watching the events all season long.
All right, let's look at the districts and who's going to Columbus. So I know you were a busy guy last weekend.
Yeah, I was at the Division I district at Mentor. We had a large amount of district qualifiers go in. Had a very good showing for the Division I teams there. And I bet you can't guess which team had the best finish and had the most state qualifiers.
I don't know, Sean. Why don't you tell us?
Oh, well, that would be the Elyria Pioneers. Elyria, for I don't know how many years in a row now, with a second place finish to St. Edward. That's pretty much been St. Edward Elyria for, you know, other than when they split Elyria off to Toledo Wade a couple years ago and they won that sectional championship. But, you know, it's been Elyria St. Edward sectional and districts for years and years and years. So, but yeah, finished 2 out of 44 teams. Teams were represented at this district. They had 11 placers out of 11 district qualifiers. Obviously, two of them were Ben Dorr and Luis Aguilar. They were district placers, which means they finished 6th at their respective weights, but they don't get to go to the state tournament with that finish. The other 9, though, do. 9 is the second best finish for Elyria. They had 10 a couple years ago, but 9 is a great finish, and the nice thing about it is 8 of them were in the district finals, so they're going down to state with a number 1 or number 2 seed, which is a little, I mean, at least on paper, they're going to have an advantage in that first round at least. So that's that was a program record, 8 district finalists. They tied a record with 4 district champions, Nate Burnett and his brother Mick Burnett. Very cool story there. They both won district
that's
titles
awesome.
Together.
Yep.
And Dylan Shaver ranked 1 in the state, number 7 in the country. And then Jake Evans pinned his way to the 170-pound title. So all 4 of them had really kind of cool things around their district championships.
That's awesome. Any other news about Elyria before we move on?
Well, obviously the other finalist, Peyton Fenton, was the runner-up at 106, Bryce Allison at 113, Enrique Munguia at 152, and Andrew Levis, second at 220. The only non-finalist, Matt Zuckerman, still a cool story. He lost, kind of was upset, I think, in the second round, but battled his way back, won, I think, 3-4 matches to take 3rd and becomes Elyria's 5th 4-time state qualifier. Only 5 Elyria wrestlers in history have gone down to state every single year of their high school career. Matt Zuckerman's the 5th one to do it.
That is awesome. Just awesome. So again, we'll keep an eye on the Pioneers as they are in Columbus this weekend. Kind of looking at the other programs that were over at Mentor, you've got Avon, Midview, and Lorraine. Kind of run through the stories.
Well, Avon's the next one up. They finished with 6 placers out of 9. 2 of those placers, again, were like the Elyria guys, finished 6th. Ethan Sear and Mason Bingham, so they will not go to state. But Avon's taken down 4. That was good for a 6th-place finish out of 44 teams. So as you can see, you know, it's not like you need 15 guys like at sectional to score high. You can, you know, 6 out of 44 teams is a great finish for Avon. They're 4 state qualifiers, program record. That's the most that Avon's ever sent down.
What a job Coach Johnson has done. Just a great job.
Yeah, he's written. And the thing is, Mark Border was the coach before him. They just basically flipped spots. Jeremy was Mark's assistant, and now Mark is Jeremy's assistant. So it's just pretty much the same coaching staff in place, but Jeremy's kind of like, you know, the energy ball, and he's the young. He's you know, a former champion, state champion with Brecksville, All-American wrestler at Ohio U. He's definitely a driving force now in the area, and he embraces, you know, everybody else too. He embraces, you know, what Burnett's doing at Elyria. It's, you know, there's no rivalry there. He just basically feeds off the energy from the county. But great job he's doing. And he's a bigger dude, so no surprise that, you know, Jack Resch and Jordan Greer and some of these bigger guys in the lineup are you know, they're battling against each other to get better. But you also got Jeremy out there, you know, still throwing down with some of these young guys. And Jordan Greer obviously was the highlight because he went in and just dominated his way to a championship after being upset in the in the sectional final. So he was a little upset about that, but he went in and kind of just dominated his way to first place. Obviously, the other person we mentioned, Jack Resch, finished second. The third installment with Daniel Buchnevich from Midview, that heavyweight final. And again,
you've talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, and they said they missed it in sectionals because Buchnevich was surprised in the semifinals. He ended up getting pinned, in the semifinal. He comes back and he actually pins, it's Tyler Jones from North Olmsted. He pinned Tyler in the semifinals at districts, then pinned Jack Resch in the final. So he is definitely going into state with a lot of momentum. So that's pretty impressive on his end as well.
All right, you want to move on or anything else in D1 that you want to talk about?
Well, I will say a couple other things that were kind of important. First of all, Lorraine and Avon Lake both finished with a state alternate, so they did get a placer out, but neither one are going to be wrestling unless something happens. Daniel Finley at 145, Abood Salem at 160 for Avon Lake. Finley, obviously, with Lorraine. If somebody in there field can't go next weekend, they will get to wrestle. And then the other one is North Ridgeville's Jacob Dunston. That ended a long state qualifier drought. Drew Dixon was last one in 2013, so it would have been 6 years since North Ridgeville to be able to push a guy through. So Jacob Dunston he goes in, and it was kind of smart. I don't know, it's controversial. There are some people who don't like the idea, but he basically forfeited his second match, his quarterfinal on the championship side, which is dangerous. It's a double elimination match. If you forfeit a match on the top side, that means you get beat on the bottom, you're done. And he ended up winning three matches through on the bottom to get into that third place match and get his state qualifier spot. So he obviously trusted in his abilities. Probably recognized that on the bottom that he might have a better shot of getting through on that side, and ends up forfeiting that top spot, getting on the bottom and going through. So some people like it, some people don't. It's up to the individual, I guess, but it managed to work for him.
All right. So let's move. And by the way, I read what you wrote about Dunston, man. There was really good stuff there. It's a cool story.
It's such a great story because he was I think his second year of wrestling, he was a state at the OAC, which is the grade school tournament. He was a state runner-up, and then he was a state placer in middle school. And state placers in middle school usually equal like high-level high school wrestlers. And he just didn't wrestle his first 2 years in high school, and then finally came back, and there you go. Now he's a state qualifier.
There you go. Division II district was held over at Norwalk. Peyton Bergdorf from Fireland's another just a great performance.
Surprise, surprise. I mean, Peyton Bergdorf, third year going to state. Obviously, the only surprise was that he is going in as a runner-up. He did lose to Gavin Ritter of Wasion again. They've gone back and forth. I think they faced each other multiple times this year. He has, I think, lost to him twice. I'm pretty sure he's beaten him. So they're back and forth. But Peyton's ranked, I think, fourth in the state, and Gavin's ranked fifth in the state. So they're real close. But he's going in, again. So, he's obviously going down there. He'll be the program's only three-time state qualifier. He's already the program's only multiple state placer. Pretty much everything he does at this point is cherry on top of the sundae because he's already, got all the program records. So, but obviously, the thing he wants to do is be the program's first state finalist and the program's first state champion. So those are still on the horizon. It could happen this year. If not, maybe next year.
Anything else from D2 over in Norwalk catches your attention?
Well, obviously, like I said, we did have some disappointing performances. Keystone sent half their lineup, 7-14. Nick Hickman was the only one that was even able to place. He finished sixth at 195 pounds. Brookside went 0-5, didn't even get a placer out of their five that they sent. And then Vermillion sent three, and Jacob Kolazar is a state alternate at 138. So again, he has that opportunity to possibly wrestle down in Columbus. But like I said, it's a tough, you got right there 15 guys out of those three schools, and none of them went. We went 0-15 as far as getting a state qualifier out of those other three D2 schools. So that was tough to watch.
But as we mentioned over at Garfield Heights in Division III, congratulations, Stevie Ferguson of EC, state bound.
Yeah, Steve Ferguson and Mike Casella from Wellington, also state bound at 220. Excuse me. And Mike Casella, Stephen Ferguson, obviously, I've had an eye on him since he was a freshman. He's a state alternate. Mike Casella came out of nowhere, basically came through, had a pretty good season. I think he was on the honor roll most of the year. I didn't really know much about him. But bam, kind of pins a highly ranked guy to win the Patriot Athletic Conference, then goes through and wins a sectional title. And then next thing you know, he's I think he lost his opener and won through the consolation bracket to get that fourth spot and a state berth. So just an amazing three-week run by Mike Casella of Wellington. He will be the spotlight of my that you may have already read in today's paper. I had my state preview in there. He is the spotlight of our state preview, so that's kind of a cool thing as well.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Always a fun guest. Josh Lowe is going to join us. This guy is a walking encyclopedia of high school wrestling. Who else would you want to have on right before the state wrestling tournament? So, again, Josh Lowe joins us during the next segment. Stay with us. It's the Cobos Insurance Center weekly wrestling recap. It's presented by Century 21, Deanna Family Realty, on AM 930 WEOL and Sean online
at WEOL.com.
And we welcome you back to this week's edition of our weekly wrestling recap brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21, Deanna Family Realty, Tim Elkhorn, along with Sean Bennett. We've done this each and every Thursday throughout the wrestling campaign. This is the finale on this Thursday night, the weekend of the state wrestling tournament. And as we mentioned earlier, big, big thank you to Bob Cobos and everybody at Cobos Insurance Center and Mike Deanna over at Century 21, Deanna Family Realty. And yes, someone who has made multiple appearances on our weekly wrestling recap this season now joins us on the phone line. Josh Lowe stops by to pay us a visit. Josh, as always, it's great to have you on the program.
My pleasure to be here in the midst of the state tournament.
All right, Josh. Well, obviously, you know, we kind of focus on the Lorain County scene and you know who the big dog there in Lorain County is. It's Elyria. We just want to kind of talk about maybe their performance at the district and their you know, going into the state with nine guys. What you potentially think they might be able to do this weekend as far as the overall team picture goes?
The district tournament was kind of a mixed bag for Elyria. Qualifying nine for many teams and most every other team would be an excellent number. It's one off their school record of 10 from 2 years ago. It's their fifth straight year where they've qualified seven or more to state. That being said, they did lose two kids in go-to-state matches that they hoped would get down to Columbus in 182-pounder Ben Dorr, who lost in overtime to Fetterman from Olmsted Falls, and 195-pounder Lewis Aguilar, who was a sectional champion the week before, but quite frankly, his state tournament qualification fate was handed Friday night when he lost to the freshman from Oregon Clay in the quarters.
Looking through some of the Elyria wrestlers, and you know, we kind of look at how good draws may or may not be, and three that I thought were pretty solid, and you can kind of tell me, you know, what your thoughts are on some of the other ones or whatever. But I thought Mick Burnett is in a really set, and it's hard to say that the number one guy in the state per your rankings can have a good or a bad draw. But I thought he was set up pretty well. Also,
I would agree that as a whole, Elyria's draws are very manageable, at least to get to the semis, and as such, which is all you can really ask for at the state tournament, is to have manageable matches. When you look at Peyton Fenton at 106, he's pretty manageable to the semi with Skinner, which is an opponent, the projected state champ. He extended to overtime at the state duels. You look at Nate Burnett, though he's a district champion, he has a relatively favorable combination in terms of getting to the state semifinals, though at that point it'd be against Jake Canetano from Solon, two-time state players undefeated on the year. Dylan Shaver avoids Jimmy Carmody until Saturday night. That presumes that Carmody clears Angelo Rini in the state semis. That was a very good match when the two met at the state duels. Shaver's beaten Meany the last 2 weeks. Shaver has Antoine Allen of LaSalle in the semi, a wrestler that he beat at the state duels. Mick Burnett, if you look at him, as Sean referenced, pretty manageable path to the semi where he'd have Casey Wiles of LaSalle in all likelihood, a wrestler that he beat at the state duels. Obviously, Sato is forced opposite by beating him in the district semis. Also in that opposite is two-time state placer Jordan Ward of Moeller and the undefeated Javon Jones from Nordonia. So I would say that's a pretty manageable draw. You look at Jake Evans at 170. He has a he's in the better of the two half brackets, even though it's the undefeated Najee Lockett in the semi. It's not Carson Kuchler, and it's not the other nationally ranked kid in the weight, Nevin Snodgrass. And you look at Drew Levis, who is a district runner-up. He has the Central Ohio District champ, Smiegel from Marysville, as his potential quarterfinal opponent, which is relatively manageable compared to another possible option, which could have been the Southwest, though none of the district champs are that tough in that weight, actually. So he's got a manageable path nonetheless. The one who doesn't have a manageable path is Bryce Allison and Matt Zuckerman. They have tough quarterfinal matches against district champions, potentially. Allison against returning state placer Jack Stanley from Brecksville, though they have not met this year. Stanley outplaced him at the Brecksville tournament. And Zuckerman has Luke Boffman in the state quarterfinal. Boffman's a two-time state placer, returning state runner-up, though Zuckerman did extend him to overtime at the state duels. Zuckerman might rather be facing a different opponent in that round.
Again, we're talking with Josh Lowe as he joins us on our weekly wrestling recap brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Josh, I wanted to ask you about Avon. Sean and I were talking during our first segment. Boy, they've had a terrific campaign, several wrestlers at state, and boy, this rivalry that's developed at the heavyweight class between Jack Resch of Avon and Daniel Buknovich of Midview. Just how do you see that?
Let's talk about Avon first. I'm sure you guys covered this. They qualified four, which I would be shocked if it isn't a school record. They'll return two of those next year. They had two other kids that placed at the district. Both those kids are sophomores, as is one of the state qualifiers that returns, Cale Saxton, 106. Jimmy Johnson's doing a heck of a job there as a head coach. He was a 2009 state champ for Brecksville, first state champ that Todd Haverdill had as the head coach at Brecksville. Remember, this is a Brecksville program that from 2009 to now, they've qualified 6-plus to state 10 of the last 11 years. So Jeremy was in at the front of that run. So he certainly has learned some of the lessons from that and brought it over to Avon, and you see good things coming. And circling back to the heavyweight, if you want to call it a rivalry, it's been pretty one-sided, though, with Buknovich being 3-0 in the matchups, winning at the league, winning at the Bill Dees, and winning at the district final. Though that being said, neither really has a great draw at the state tournament. Buknovich is looking at facing Max Millen from Massillon Perry in the state quarterfinal round, assuming he's able to beat the kid from LaSalle in the opening round. And Jack Resch, returning state qualifier, is looking at facing fellow returning state qualifier Michael Mather of Uniontown Lake. Mather won the Brecksville Holiday Tournament, an event in which Resch took third. So the likelihood of that rivalry continuing would be in consolation, probably.
Isn't it, I was going to ask you about that, isn't it kind of just the way it is in wrestling sometimes? You think, you know, winning that district championship gets you a better draw at state, or should get you a better draw at state, but it lands Buknovich on the half with your number one and number two ranked wrestlers. Just kind of the way wrestling works sometimes, that you can't count on anything.
No, you can't. And the number one ranked wrestler in the state, Padilla, is the only returning state placer in the weight class. And here's another interesting, he's the only returning state placer in the weight class, and it's a weight class that also has 12 seniors in it, of which Resch is one of them. Buknovich and Padilla are two of the four non-seniors in the whole weight class.
Wow.
Another kind of guy I want to talk about, he's a two-time state placer in our area. I think he also landed in a pretty tough situation in the same half bracket with the number one and number three ranked guys, which is Peyton Bergdorf of Firelands. Your thoughts on that? Logan Hours obviously up top there, and then the kid from Louisville down below.
Yeah, that's a pretty congested weight class as a whole. So there was no real good landing spot in that weight class. When you look at Ritter, who beat Bergdorf in the final, they've had outcomes that have went either way this year. Then you have Waite, two-time state placer, and Latzenheiser over the Lions. Then you have Logan Arrows at a different district. So when you have that type of congestion, there's not really a great place to land. Maybe there was a great place to land, but it's not the quarter that Bergdorf is in. Bergdorf facing Garrett Latzenheiser, they met last year in a consolation semifinal at the state tournament, a match that Latzenheiser did win. And the fact that Logan Arrows is in that half, he's a freshman, junior high state champ last year, does not make things easy for any of them. Not that the top half is any better with Gavin Ritter and Christian Waite meeting in a state quarterfinal either.
Well, Josh, again, we can't thank you enough. Another appearance on our show, and your depth of knowledge is just phenomenal. So we appreciate that you take a few minutes to join us. And I know you and Sean Bennett and the rest of all the passionate wrestling fans are going to just have a blast down in Columbus this weekend. So we appreciate you joining us for a few minutes tonight to preview it all for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, right. Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
Josh,
you're welcome.
Joining us.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you can tell he knows the area well, but he is the national high school wrestling analyst for Intermat. He can talk like that about every kid in the country. He knows, you could ask him about Washington State. You could ask him about Pennsylvania, Michigan. He knows, like, all the good kids. It's amazing, listening to him. And honestly, he knows about the college wrestling scene. He's a big soccer fan. He knows all that. So,
as I said, his depth of knowledge. And you've said before, he doesn't have any notes in front of him. He's just doing that right off the top of his head.
That's right. Now, and then, obviously, 1 week from tonight, I want to remind everybody, is the All-Star Meet, the Lorain County All-Star Meet at Elyria High, 6 p.m. If you don't get the chance to get down to state to see these guys, come back and see all of the county's top guys and girls at the Lorain County All-Star Meet Elyria next week.
My friend, it's hard to believe this comes to an end. It's been a blast again.
Yeah, well, just kind of get a couple sleeps and we'll be doing the season preview again before you know it.
No doubt. All right, have a great time in Columbus.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. Again, a great big thank you to Josh Lowe for stopping by and paying us a visit as well. Huge thanks to our sponsors, the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21, Deanna Family Realty. From the WEOL studios, thank you for listening. So long, everybody.